Y'all know me. My middle name's Disaster, my wife told me one day. Did she mean that good or I don't know. Everybody, welcome to Grace Outreach Church this morning. So I'll title today's message, Sometimes You Win, and Then Sometimes You Learn. Okay? It shouldn't just be lose. That'd be for naught, you know. But sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. Now, when you win, that's fine. But it's the learning part or the losing at times that kind of gets in our crawl. And sometimes we feel like that we're losing a sense of a spiritual battle at times because we want to know God better, right? I mean, maybe I'll speak for all of us. We want to know God better. We want to be in relationship with Him as the best of our ability. We want to be able to pray to Him, not eloquently, but communicate with God to the best of our ability, so that God hears us and knows about us. Now, in that journey, there are circumstances, such as weather and disasters. But there's also different types of disasters. Falling away from Christ. Having an offense against others. In relationships, whether it be marriage or with your children or with an in-law or even a family. Oh, Lord, there's so many prejudices that are out there, too. So sometimes you win, but sometimes you learn. And we should learn many things, how to work together in unity, and how to look to God continually as our salvation and whom delivers us from all things. Remember, we're not looking for the president to be able to do something. It's highly unlikely that a president can do all the things that we need God to do. So it's never been blended. It's always look to the Lord. So sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. In Psalm 30, verse 5b, the second part of that, Scripture says, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. How many of this verse ministers to you? This is one that is committed since I was a young boy. Weeping may only last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Why is that? Because though there may be a day or days in which we have tribulation and trials, days which we feel like we're in the unknown land of which we live, and we don't have the direction, but we have the sense to be able to pray, finally there's a breaking. That day comes to an end, and there's no more. And then another day crops up as that sun rises. It's now a day of deliverance until the next trial and tribulation. But getting through them is what God helps us do. So sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. And we want to be able to know and learn that the weeping and the crushing of our heart, it only lasts for a time, all right? But there's joy that's going to come in the morning time. The end of long days, I want them to be over sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I just want it to, that's it. You know how sometimes you just go to sleep early? And I rarely do that, but when I do, my wife, that's strange. Why? But it's been a long day, sometimes a long week, sometimes a long month, sometimes a long year. And you just maybe have some discouragement. Sometimes you just want to go to bed and just say, what comes tomorrow will come tomorrow. Amen. All right, I'm so glad. So we're now learning. We're learning that though there's weeping, that there's also a time of rejoicing that is to come. There's a new day and an opportunity to do things different, to do things well. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24. And so it brings us to the question, what if God placed you in authority of things? Just your life. Placed you in authority. Do you know what to do with God in your life? And what if you had the authority? Now that question can be answered is you have the authority. And I want to look at some scripture because I'm limited in the amount of time that I have to talk. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, this is Paul. He's telling of turmoil and sorrows in his life. And some of you may be familiar with this. He's talking about, and I'm fixing to read what it is, but really, he's only talking of things that had happened since he became a Christian, and the time frame of that was only 16 years. So 16 years of being a Christian, Paul was not nagging, but yet bragging of the hardships. So I started in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Five different times, he said, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. They whipped him with a whip. Why not 40? Because it'd be against the religion. 40 is what pagans, and that's what the Gentiles use. But 39 lashes, that was okay because that was the law. So 39 times. Five times the Jewish leaders gave him 39 lashes. Verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. I wanted to demonstrate that so much this morning of what that looks like. I don't know where you are going with that, but I guess you think I'm mad at somebody. I just wanted to demonstrate, not on somebody. I wanted to demonstrate what that looked like, being beaten with rods. That's harsh, man. That's harsh. I mean, you'd come up bloodied and sore, and I guarantee you, the first question you'd ask is, come on, God, where were you? You got to be kidding me. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He doesn't mean the plant. He means rocks. At this point, he got stoned again later. So it wasn't even over with. So that's just his first stoning and got him ready for his next stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked. Shipwreck, it was fairly common, but nonetheless, it's a calculated kind of risk, so to speak. I mean, you're going to go on that ship. You have to be prepared in your mind. It's not like the cruise line where you have a life jacket. No telling, you're going to hit rocks, and where you crash, you may not be able to even swim or get out of there. And somehow Paul would manage to make it out of there, make it to some island, someplace, and be rescued. But he put in here, once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. Doggone, that's not, he didn't make it to an island, had to wait a day or two for rescue. That was just in the water, adrift on the sea. Verse 6, I've traveled on many long journeys, meaning I have faced danger from rivers. Like, we can understand that really well today. These rivers, they get out of hand. Paul was on many long journeys. As he went, naturally, the weather did not cooperate. He didn't have all the infrastructure, what we have today. You're not just going to get in a boat and cross some raging river. I mean, it was tough that he had to get to places. He had to endure these things. And also, he had to be, and I face in verse 26, from robbers. Yeah, naturally, there's not nice people along the street, and you seem like a stranger, you seem like a target. We'll take what you have, and maybe we'll let you live, maybe not. I have faced a danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as people from the outside, the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the city and the deserts and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. Let's mark that. When you are a believer and you hurt other believers, there is a special hurt when that occurs. Probably everybody I know has experienced that at least once. You're hurt by someone in the church, or you're hurt by someone who claimed to be a Christian, and boy, they cut you up like slice and dice, like they never even knew God himself. We should not ever be one of those people. Amen. And Lord, I just pray, I want to pray right now. Help us, Lord, to always be a blessing and not a curse to people. Always give us a way out, Lord, in which we can escape having to be harsh, but we can stay people of love and please you, God. Let us pass these tribulation times that we're in today and the prejudice and the people that are haters, Lord, and be able to see through that and pray to you that God would help and unify. So be it, amen. I face dangers in the cities, deserts, and seas. I said that. 27. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Verse 28. And besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Stop there a second. See, Paul was an apostle. He not only was a Christian and not only was called to be really necessarily a pastor, but an apostle, to raise and plant many churches and get those nucleuses of a leader, a pastor of that church, and a nucleus of people to work toward understanding the Word of God and how to apply and understand what Christ did for them And then he'd be able to step away and to multiply that and to multiply that and to multiply that. That's what all his journeying and things were about. This is why he was shipwrecked, because he was on a mission to do this. And why he's doing these things, in a sense, it's a motivation to be concerned about the churches. And if a man can be concerned about the churches, how much more is God concerned about his churches and his people? And all people God is concerned about. Just pray for the world. One day their eyes will be opened as ours have been opened. And their eyes are being opened every day because of circumstances. It's not just a hot potato out there. That's on fire outside that door if you don't know the Lord. It's harsh. It's tearing you up inside. They're blind, trying to find some direction, and they don't see any light. But they run across us, they see the light of God. And I can't tell you the people just being in this church here during the week, even alone, that come through that front door. It's not church time. It's just they're praying that someone is at that door that will greet them. And then they share how hot and on fire things are in their life. And then they receive the Lord. That's just normal. So trying to evangelize and find people, that's a no-brainer in our society. And in times, everybody's just on fire in a sense. They're in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. But they are blinded. But not for long, people, not for long. So he has a daily concern for all the churches. Now what if God placed you in authority? Remember that question. Verse 29. Who is weak without my feeling? Is that what that says there? Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Paul's speaking of empathy here. Now, I wrote it in my Bible. I would rephrase it. Who is weak that I do not feel their pain? Do we understand that? The next question. Who is led astray that I do not burn with anger? Meaning, those that are led astray. Remember, he's grouping people to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus, explaining them that Christ came from heaven to earth to do a very great purpose, and that was to give his life, something we couldn't do. And his salvation is free, and it's a gift. And when people are led astray after knowing that, Paul said it caused him to burn intensely inside. If I must boast, he says, I'd rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. Why? Don't people need to see the strength in you? Not necessarily. They need to see you and who you really are. People, we're human. We go through things. It's an experience. It's okay. I want to tell you, God gave us these emotions that we have, okay? Emotions. You cry sometimes. Sometimes you're very angry. Sometimes you want to be fearful. But God only gave us the fear in us to be able to fear Him, to realize we need to please Him, reverence Him, and to not be afraid. So in other words, in a sense of good and evil, you tell the devil, look, I feel your fear, but I'm not taking that because that's crazy. I mean, I don't fear you. I fear God. And God says not to fear you. So that'd be crazy of me to try to take that in my own hands. So there's a yoke. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, so much electronics, you know how I am. It's no paper anymore. All right, so Matthew 11, verse 28. I don't know, maybe just me, but I remember when I was a kid, the man there, you could just hear it through the church. It was a warm feeling. So Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus speaks to us. In your bulletin, it says yolk, okay? It's not egg yolk. A yolk. It was an instrument, a harness that oxen used to pull heavy loads. Okay, I mean, they were used, they packed oxen down for many things. One, to carry heavy loads of stuff. They would stack it. I mean, and bind it upon. I don't know how they even got the ropes or even the math on that. They could get those things so high. And yet that thing's kind of unstable. But they could wrap that up. They could also put a yoke upon them, which they could use one ox to plow. You know, and I'm antiquated here. You know, drop iron in the ground, and there's a rope, and they put a harness around it. Several men couldn't pull it, but one ox, they just say, you know, move and go on, or spank them on the bottom, whatever they did. And that ox would go, and it would till the ground. And to make it even faster, they'd hook two of those things together. And that was called a yoke. A beam of balance, that's actually a translation of a beam of balance between those two ox. Okay, so Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, he says, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Oh, let's stop. What does God's yoke look like? It's one that is light. It's one that you can carry and balance. It's one in which does not tear you up physically or burn you out spiritually. You cannot constantly do good work to the point that you're just weary in what you do. The Bible warns us about that. You can't do anything to the point where you're just so weary that it causes burnout, right? We can have that in the natural. We can have it even in the supernatural. Sometimes we can be seeking God and we become so desperate, we make all kind of attempts in really making plays to God over and over so he'll hear us or do what we ask him to do. It's kind of a crazy world in which we can think as humans, but we serve him and believe him by faith. When you know God, you want to do things for him, but he doesn't want you to be savior. He is savior. We are his people. Jesus is saying this right here. And I think that's all of us this morning. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Jesus says, his only description of him in the Bible, because I am humble and gentle at heart. It's the only time Christ self-identifies himself besides Savior. Humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, that beam of balance. And the burden I give you is light. So I went into the translations, and I want to say it real fast, of what a yoke is for some of us. Maybe it cannot be self-identified of what it is. But maybe since we're speaking here from the Word of God, a yoke is sin. A yoke is, it's not only sin, but it's sin. It's yoking. It's tying us. It's not allowing us to get away. It keeps us close to the devil. It's a heavy burden. You can't feel like you can connect in any other way to people or God. That's sin. Rebuke that sin in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray any sin that we may have and things even that try to lie under the surface of our sins called iniquity. Father, break that in the name of Jesus. If there is habits or there is hang-ups of things, though it even may not be sin, but Lord, we're doing it anyway. Well, the Bible says that that's sin. So we pray, Lord, that the things that we know that we shouldn't do, that you would help us because you've given us the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray right now, by your Spirit I'm asking this, by your Word I'm proclaiming this, that we are free from sin and the binding of it and the chains that try to hold us, Lord. We don't have fear, Lord, of what tomorrow is going to bring. You know what our life is going to be. And we pray and we ask you to be able to circumvent our lives, the challenges, the sin, the transgression. And the Bible says, it says you hear our voice. And I'm praying, Lord, this morning, all of us that are here today, that we don't fear tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own direction and its own clarity and its own healing, Father, I pray. Own soberness. Be able to breathe deep breaths. To be able to walk normally without a limp, I pray. To be able to have a sense of accomplishment in our life, Lord. And yet the natural things that we set our hands to do, they work out. And Lord, to you be the glory for that. The things that we seek are you and you alone. And not other things, God. But the things that are of you. We receive your yoke. Thank you for your deliverance. Yoke is one is sin. The other is oppression. Another yoke is constraint. I can't read that word I wrote. I wrote so small. Force, yoke can be a force that's trying to come against you. If you feel like you're being crushed, then it's not the Lord. It's something that is crushing your heart. It's a yoke. The old enemy's out there trying to overwhelm you. Overburdened is another word for yoke. Insert yoke in search of God, but you're in distress. Jesus intervenes right here. He goes, oh, I know that. I know that you're my people, and I know that sin has tried to overcome you and the burdens, but I'm here. Come on. Take my yoke. We're going to exchange it here. Ready? One, two, three. Here you go, Jesus. I'm just going to take that. He goes, and here you go. Here's my yoke. It's one of lightness. It's one that you'll be able to carry. Son, you were never meant to carry sins. Daughter, you were never meant to be burdened down. But for Jesus to be our Savior and our Deliverer. And when we look forward to something, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 25. When we look forward to seeing something, here's what we should look for. And here's what the Spirit helps us with, okay? Starting with verse, I said 11, 20. I don't know what you have up there, Cindy, but I'm going to start at verse 25. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. These words are joined together. It is, what, conjunction, right? Remember that? Conjunction, junction, what's your function, and button, or, you know, remember those kind of, okay. Yeah, okay, thanks, thanks you. No, thank you for making me feel like I'm not crazy. I wasn't the only one that heard that school script rock. All right. But if we look forward to something that we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. Dear Lord, I don't know how I've arrived at that in my life, but I seem like the most impatient person that I know. I've said it to myself. I remember it being said over me many times. You're the most impatient person in the whole world. I'm not saying it started with my wife. It started way even before that. But knowing the Lord, He has helped me to be able to be a patient man. And I'm amazed because it's not me. But I can feel the Spirit of God move through me and cause me to have self-control. To be able to watch me. I'll be tested this afternoon because I'm talking about it. That's okay. God helps me be patient and confident. So it's the waiting game. Okay. What ifs? I don't think about what ifs. I'm patient and I'm confident. What about the fear? There is no fear because I believe in Christ Jesus and I have faith that I have learned in things that I have been through and succeeded on small to much larger things where I have faith, period. Not just faith, even the gift of faith, because it's something the Bible tells us in Corinthians. It says only the Holy Spirit gives, and yet if you'll back up about several verses before that, it says desire spiritual gifts. I needed patience. I needed to be confident in the Lord in my faith race, and the Lord is able to do that. Remember last week? He gives us everything that we need to live a godly life in 2 Peter? All right. Okay, so that was just one verse. I got to move on. Sounding like Travis here. Travis went a whole week, like four verses here. That's good. I'm just saying. I got more verses here. And the Holy Spirit helps us. It's the next sentence. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So all those that knew me as impatient before now know me as patient. That's not anything I've done. That's to God's glory. Because God helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Now, that means a lot of things. I can't elaborate on it right now because it's 3 minutes till. But that doesn't mean don't pray. But pray. If you don't know the words, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. Just wait before the Lord. Just wait. Be patient before the Lord. And you have to do, I think it was Psalm 105. You have to tell yourself, self, I will praise the Lord with all my soul. I will say to myself, with all that I am, bless his holy name. For though a mountain stand before me, you ever had that kind of vision where you can kind of see that mountain and you can see yourself crashing into that mountain and that mountain's actually starting to scoot on the ground? It's going to do one or two things. I'm either going to knock a hole in that mountain by faith in Christ Jesus, or that mountain is going to slip and go to the side somewhere along the road. If God's will is on the other side of that mountain, it don't matter what that mountain is, I'm going to be an overcomer. Yeah, but what if? Let's just say, you know, a lot of good people say that and die. Well, guess what? They're in heaven, and that's what I'm heaven bound for. If it was a mountain that took me out, well, so be it. I'm ready to go. If a mountain, bring the mountain on, I'm ready to go see Jesus. But until then, I'm pushing those mountains aside. I mean, somebody's got to do it, right? And that's us. We're supposed to be able to do that. Amen. Shout me down. I'm preaching good. All right. Verse 27. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. Remember, the Holy Spirit was praying for us. And the Father who knows all hearts, and the Lord knows all of our hearts, and knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us. See, no begging. Don't need to beg. The Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony. He knows how to work those cries that we have out, to work them for God's will and in harmony. So the things that we ask for, God's will be done for you. So many times I pray, and it's not turning out as I pray. Not the point. It's not happening very fast. Not the point. I don't feel very good about it. Not the point. The point is that I pray, and when I don't know what to pray, I wait confidently upon the Lord, and the Lord works what's best for me that I don't know. But I got the Father in heaven that's just telling us, the Holy Spirit praying for me, Jesus there going in between the Father and the Spirit saying, yeah, this one's calling on you. I know his voice. I know his heart. I know everything that goes about him. And the Holy Spirit saying, and I'm doing the pleading on his behalf. Let's turn these things that's going on in their life for the very good of them. Let's not just say what, just not just give them what he asked or what she asked for. Let's make it work so it's long-lasting, it's long-standing, it's foundational. They can build upon that. They don't have to stay in that same spot or end up in a catch-22. Let's release them. We gave that boy our burden, our yoke. We took those things from him. Oh, my gosh. Verse 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called accordingly to his purpose. Oh, God, I tell you, we have no excuses, none. The Bible clarifies everything that we say. I don't know about this, God. What do you think? Right here it says in your spirit. It's only the things that you're doing, your attitude. Tell them you're having a poor attitude about it. You got to look at things. Look up, look up, look up, look up. There we go with that eclipse. A lot of theories about eclipses and everything that's going on. In the end, I couldn't find much that had really happened, unless you want to say this hurricane is part of it. But what I did look at was, I looked up, since I couldn't really find anything that was so telling about the eclipse, I looked up to see, okay, let's set it all aside. I Googled how the eclipse affected people. Oh, and then I finally got some useful information. Some, they looked up in the sky, and they noticed the stars. And some, on the weather station, they had this coming to them, this eclipse. They're always looking at the stars, weather station, looking up at the clouds. Now that I watched that news and asked Castor Lady, I don't know if you noticed it, but when she saw that eclipse, she broke down and cried. I mean, she felt like an idiot. But she was crying. I don't know. And she said, this is amazing. I don't know why I'm crying. I mean, it's just, it's awesome. It is. If God wanted our attention, look, that eclipse got everybody's attention, didn't it? All over the world. Not a lot of people paid attention to it. But God can turn every head to him. What I got out of it was people were concerned and they stopped many times what they were doing. Netflix went down 10% in their viewing area because they were the eclipse. I thought God's going to have no trouble in end times getting our attention. If we don't see the first one, he'll make it dark again. If that's too far away, I'll just make an X next time. Because all you're going to be covered by darkness, and you're going to look up in the sky when I say look up. And you're going to call out to me, and you're going to say, you're our Lord, and you're our Savior, God. You're creator of the universe. My God, she's got control of things, people. How small are our personal circumstances and things? And yet God knows our hearts, and he's concerned about those things. And I have to finish up in Philippians 4, verse 7. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Now we understand why we can actually have some joy. But your life, I wouldn't be you to change the world. It seems like it's too hard and you're fighting the devil all the time. Listen, I got joy in doing that. I love being able to stand for God, be able to wait, to be able to be patient, to be able to serve him when he says work. Because how do I do that? Because it's the Spirit that gives life to me. I'm following the words of Jesus. Go back to Luke 9:23 and 24, because I've learned how to be able to take that scripture and learn what it means to give your life away is how you find it, Jesus said. Man! Oh, Lord. Y'all get it, right? Always be full of joy. I say again, rejoice, the scripture says. It's very quiet in here. Rejoice. I say again. Rejoice means let us allow ourselves to engage us to be steady and constant in believing the prospects of God's work in his eternity. Have joy in the Lord. And I say again, rejoice. Okay. All right. I have to bring my box next week. All right. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. To be known for your moderation interpretation. Let people know that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Oh, we're in end times. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace is incredible. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ. Travis, if you would come play that song real quick. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Always be full of joy. Quick, then, the definitions of the Hebrew and the Greek and the Septuagint when it comes to joy. Number one, joy is produced by the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not when you get a gift. It's not a fuzzy feeling. It's not love. It's joy. It is produced by the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? In Ephesians. It is a godly attitude. Joy. It's God. Doesn't mean that you're boring. It means that you have joy. I've never seen a picture of Jesus. You know, I mean, I have, but not the real one. Not the real. I mean, I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. But I do see him with teeth. I do. And lips to smile. I think it'd be not like Santa Claus jolly, but I think it'd just be I love you. Come here. I love how you are. But what about her, Lord? She's never really been much fun. Come here. I made each and every one of you. Come here. I love you guys. Can't you just see him showing that love to you? Okay, it's produced by the Holy Spirit. Joy, it always triumphs, the Bible says. Joy is the character of God. Joy, it looks beyond the present. The joy is like, I'm going on. Because if you don't, you're not going to have joy, right? So you get out. Joy is a moving train that you keep going. Joy is distinct from happiness. For joy is possible that even in the midst of sorrow, we can experience God's joy. Amen. Would you stand, please? I pray that you would go in peace and in the safety of God, and that today you picked up the joy of the Lord as your salvation and your strength, and that you will leave transformed in what you came in, more than you even asked for. So be it. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out today.